had a very typical childhood upbringing. Was raised in a religious home where my dad was Mormon, my mom was Catholic. It's kind of confusing for me in the beginning. You know, that wasn't lacking in the household whatsoever. I have two older sisters. One's 7 years older than I am, one's 2 years older than I am. I always looked up to my sisters, wanted to kind of be a part of them. First time I actually used was a sip of alcohol, was when I was in third grade. I definitely liked the way that it made me feel. It made me feel whole. For whatever reason, while I was growing up, I didn't really feel that love inside of my heart. And as soon as I took that sip of alcohol, all bets were off, and it made me feel whole and loved and a part of. Hit 13, and one of my friends had some meth. And that was the start of my life, really opening up my eyes to seeing something that was larger than myself and getting me to that level of love that I was really looking for a lot faster. And it started out fine. You know, there really wasn't any issues with any friends, family. And, you know, I did find myself stealing quite a bit. You know, I'd get a hold of items at my parents' house or lying and getting money, you know, for whatever I needed to get high with. Once I got into my freshman year of high school, you know, I was heavily into sports and I really excelled in baseball. And I played football as well and wrestled. And I found myself losing complete interest in going to practice and going to baseball games and football games. I couldn't show up any longer. I found myself hanging out with friends that weren't a part of my life prior, and they were using with me as well. I'd go across the street and get loaded, and you know, I'd have practice, and I'd say, I don't want to go to practice anymore. The friends that I was starting to hang out with that I used to hang out with prior to that were really, really good friends and good people. And I found myself not hanging out with them anymore, and they no longer wanted to hang out with me. Eventually, what had happened was I had lost all of those friends that really meant something to me. And the ones that were getting loaded are the ones that I gravitated, and they gravitated towards me more. It was pretty quick. You know, my sophomore year, I was heavily into acid, meth, drinking quite a bit as well. And really, this is where it all took me. Was I went to school one day, and I was on acid, and I had a pretty bad trip when I walked into school. Gentleman kind of came in. The teacher said that we have a special guest today, and he came in playing the bagpipes, and I just couldn't freaking believe it. So I ran out, and I didn't want to be a part of school any longer. I noticed at that point that you know, that I could make money by selling, and I thought that, you know, that was going to be my thing, and I was going to do that for the rest of my life, and I didn't really need to work any longer. It was a nightmare. I mean, I had fun out there for a little bit, but it was a nightmare. I found myself constantly picking at my face. When an addict typically uses, he doesn't feel alone. And then towards the end of his using and towards the end of him hitting rock bottom, he's starting to feel separated from that love again, and the drug's no longer working. And for me, that's exactly what had happened. I didn't like who I saw in the mirror. Couldn't stand looking at myself in the mirror. Nobody else really wanted to be a part of me any longer. And thank God I met this girl, and she told me, you have a choice. And she paged me, because that's what it was back then. They had pagers. And she told me, you know, you can pick me or the drugs, and you make a decision. You know, and I was on a payphone when I had called her back, and I said, well, let me get back to you, because I don't know if that's a really good idea right now. And I waited about a week or so, and I called her, and I said, okay, you know, let's try this thing. I got a relationship with her, and, you know, that's basically kind of where it took off. And fortunately, at that time, I was able to just drop everything, and I stopped using. I had my first son in 2000, and, you know, that was a blessing, a huge blessing for me. At that point, you know, I was successful in business and everything took off, and I had family around me again. I had great friends around me. But inside, I had this huge void that I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel whole. I was angry. I was resentful. And there was something lacking. I didn't know what it was, you know. And so I went about my life for years that way, you know. And I had another son in 2002. And, you know, just huge blessings in my life. And you think that that would allow a man like me to feel full and happy and, you know, not really in need of any type of outside substance. You know, I wasn't a very pleasant human being to be around. We went on a family vacation for a weekend, and I was just complaining the whole time and yelling. I never was physical with my family whatsoever, but I verbally was very abusive. We got back to the house, and she took her ring off. My wife took her ring off and said that that's it. She's done. She doesn't want anything to do with me. That night, now you got to understand, 7 years I hadn't used. Immediately I said, are you sure? She said, yeah. I said, do you have the kids? She said, yes, I do. I said, see you later. And I took off, and that night I went straight to a bar. I ordered that beer, and it had been years, and I ordered that beer, and as soon as that beer came on that tray with the cocktail waitress, I immediately felt that ease and comfort. And then I took that sip, and it was just like, ah. And everything calmed down. I felt fine. I felt whole again. I could probably look at myself in the mirror at that time and like who I saw. And then that night, I found another substance, you know, and off and running, I was again. And that continued for about 2.5 years. I lost my business. I lost my houses. I lost my kids. I couldn't show up for Christmases. I couldn't show up for birthdays. I'm not the dad that does that. Change of friends. Lost a lot of good friends. A lot of couples that were in my life that were married. Just couldn't be around them. Couldn't go to weddings for family members. Just couldn't show up at all for 2 years. You know, it took me to the depths of where I was again, you know, stealing, lying, cheating. And I thought that, you know, that was going to be the way of life again for me. Eventually, you know, I had turned to Vicodin and Percocet, Oxycodone, Oxycontin. And it was the death of me. That's what really was the turn for me. And I thank God every day, you know, for that actual drug, because that brought me to my knees. And at that point, I decided to turn to black, which was heroin. At that point, I got pretty bad to where I didn't have my kids. One night, my kids came over, and it was just a very, very rare visit that I had them. It was a Sunday night. And at this point, you know, I was unemployable. I had nothing going on in my life. I lived with this girl that she called herself my girlfriend. I don't even really know what that was. But that's just kind of where it took me. And my kids came over, and I hung out with them for a while. And once they left, I just did too much is what had happened. I call it, you know, just a dime too much, the dime of death. And that's exactly what had happened. I did too much, and apparently my body wasn't found for about 6 hours or so. The doctor said I had seized over 150 times, and I flatlined numerous times. I was on life support for quite a few days. My kids actually went next to the hospital bed and said goodbye to me. I've been sober 7 years now, but as you can see, that still really affects me. At this point, you know, I just couldn't. I couldn't show up. I didn't know what was going on in my life, you know. And the doctors basically said that I was supposed to be flatlined, done, fried, organ shut down, you know. And there's just no hope. And by the grace of God, by something bigger than myself, you know, they didn't pull the plug, and I woke up. At that point, like a good addict that I am, you think that I'd say, okay, enough's enough. You know, I need to get control of this. I need to stop this. I need something different. No, I convinced the doctor to write me a script. Here I am, and this is back in the older days, you know, 7+ years ago, that he had a script, you know, a pad, and he wrote one out, and I got a script. And here I am in a hospital bed. I mean, I'm broken. Obviously, I've got a situation. I've got a problem with something, and I need to get help. I need something different. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. That's what I do best. It's all I know. I don't know that there's another way out. I don't know there's another way of life. Immediately, I pull out my IVs. I get the nurses, you know, and they pull out the catheter. And I jump up, and I'm in a hospital gown. I mean, they cut up my clothes when I first got in there. And I'm in a hospital gown, and I get a cab, and I go straight to the pharmacy, and I get the script filled, and I get loaded again. you know, because that's the only thing I know how to do, and I know how to do it well. That continued on for a couple more days until finally I was just broken and I couldn't do it anymore. I went to a detox center, and I detoxed for about 5 days, and this is really important. At that point, somebody brought in a 12-step meeting, and they explained to me that there are places that I could go and that there are halfway houses out there that I don't have to have any money to get into them and that I can get help there and I don't have to go back to the same street or same house that I was at. You know, at this point, all I had was a backpack full of clothes. I had nothing, you know, and so I get there and that was the start of my recovery, and I got a glimpse of really what life could be like today. You know, and since that day, I've gotten to live this beautiful life. I own my own business today. I have great friends around me that love me. Anytime that they need help, I reach out. I get this life, and the only way that I get this life is that I have to keep giving it back to other addicts. Basically, all it's coming down to is today that I'm full of love. You know, I had no idea that that's all I was really lacking at the time and why I was so angry and why I always wanted to use. But it comes down to is I just wanted to feel the love. And then when I see somebody else that's struggling and going through kind of what they're going through, I'm the first one to reach out. You know, without a doubt, I'm right there, right in front of them. I'm on the firing lines, and I'm ready to hold their hand and walk them through it. You know, that's just how it is today. If you're out there and you're thinking about getting recovery, you know, the best thing that you could possibly do is reach out. There's hotlines out there that you can call. There's plenty of detox centers that you can get into without any money, if that's an issue. If you have insurance, great. Go get through the detox, whatever it may be, and get help. That's the only way that really I've ever seen it possible. I've seen a lot of successful people go through the program through a halfway house. That for me, I can't do it without a halfway house. It didn't work for me. That's just the only way. I can't do it without it. Reach out. That's all I can tell you is really reach out.